Let's talk a little bit about this gospel. Now, in the law of Moses, specifically in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses gives this indication of blessings and curses. And what he says is that if you abide by this law and do what it says, then you will be blessed in your coming, you'll be blessed in your going, your farms will be blessed, your livestock will be blessed, your children will be blessed, everything will be blessed. But if you fail to keep the law and do not do the commandments that I give you, then you will be cursed. You'll be cursed in your coming in. You'll be cursed in your going out. Your fields will be cursed. Your children will be cursed. Your puppy dogs will be cursed. Everything will be cursed. And what happened to that is this concept of blessing and curses by Jesus' day got twisted a little bit. And what the people believed was that if you were doing well, if you were rich, if you'd won the lottery, if you had things going good for you, your farm was producing and your livestock were healthy, then you must be a good person. And God is blessing you because all these things are going well for you. But then if you were doing poorly, if you were poor, and your farm hadn't produced what you expected it to, and your livestock were sick, and you'd fallen on hard times, then you must be a sinner, because God is cursing you. So these people come to Jesus, and they ask about these Galileans whom Pilate had murdered, had executed, and then mingled their blood with the pagan sacrifices. And they said, these people must have been really bad sinners for something so bad to have happened to them. And Jesus refutes that concept and says, no, we're all the same. These people who were executed by Pilate, they weren't any worse than you. And then he goes and tells another story. There was a tower in Siloam that fell and killed a bunch of people. And he said, these people weren't bad sinners. They just happened to be standing in the wrong place. And the tower fell on them. And they were all killed. But then he says, unless you repent, you'll all perish. Well, we've heard that phrase before, haven't we? To repent. We hear that in Advent. John the Baptist is preaching, you know, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does that mean, to repent? Well, you may have heard some stories about what that means. A lot of preachers like to say, well, it means to turn around. Stop going the way you're going and go the other way. And that's not a bad concept, but that's really not what the word means. The Greek word there is metanoia. All right? You'll be tested on this later. Did I just lose my sound? Metanoia. Now, what that means is to have a transformation of your mind. You recognize the prefix meta from our word metamorphosis, right? Where a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. It's a complete transformation. And the Greek word noia simply means mind, a complete transformation of your mind. And that's what Jesus is encouraging us to have, is a complete transformation of our mind. Not just a simple changing of our mind, like, I got up this morning and I was going to wear a red shirt and I changed my mind and decided to wear a green shirt instead. No, a complete transformation, something as radical as a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. Or as radical as St. Paul. Think of St. Paul. He was one who would persecute, imprison, and even kill Christians. But he had an encounter with Jesus that gave him a complete transformation of his mind. And then he changed so much that he became an apostle. And he even took the gospel to the Gentiles, those filthy Gentiles like you and me. He loved us so much that he brought the gospel to us, because he had a complete transformation of his mind. And he writes something interesting in his book of Romans. He says, those who live according to the flesh, their mind is set on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, their mind is set on the things of the Spirit. But the mind that is set on the flesh is death. But the mind that is set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is an enemy of God. He knew that because he lived in a outward observance of the law of Moses, because he thought if he did everything right, well, then maybe he'll be blessed. And so he wants to do everything right and good, and was convinced that the right and good thing to do was to imprison and persecute and kill Christians. He was convinced that was the right thing to do. His mind was set on outward observance. His mind was set on the things of the flesh. And he had a transformation of his mind to set his mind on the things of the Spirit, and he learned to love and to share the gospel. And so he goes on to write in his book of Romans, he says, I urge you by the mercies of God to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual form of worship. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, when St. Paul, he thinks of the Mass, he thinks of two sacrifices. He thinks of the sacrifice of Christ on the altar, that beautiful sacrifice in which he cleanses us of our sins. But he also thought of his sacrifice, his living sacrifice of his body, completely sacrificed and submitted to God so that his mind could be transformed. He could have that complete transformation of his mind that Jesus calls us to when he says, repent, or all these bad things will happen to you. So how do we do that? How do we change our minds into the minds of the Spirit? Well, we can't, actually. God has to do that. The Holy Spirit has to do that in us. But we can avail ourselves to that. We can avail ourselves to the allowing the Holy Spirit to transform our minds by completely submitting and surrendering to Him. Imagine this. That Jesus is standing there with this beautiful gift for you, the gift of the ever-abiding presence of His Holy Spirit, that you could walk in the wisdom and the love of God, and He wants to give this to you, and He's standing there holding it out to you, but you can't take it from Him because our hands are so full of all of the cares and concerns of this world, we have to let go of them in order to reach out and take the gift that Jesus has for us. It all starts here at the table of the Lord. This is where we surrender ourselves. You see, Jesus gives Himself fully to us in His body, blood, soul, and divinity, and He wants us to give ourselves fully to Him so that we can receive this beautiful grace that He has for us, so that our lives and our minds can be completely transformed. I was a little boy, and as little boys are curious, the family's favorite vase is on this little pedestal, and he shakes the vase and he hears there's something in there. He hears a jingling sound, so he reaches in and to find out what's in there. And all that's well and good, boy's just being curious, but the problem is his hand gets stuck. He can't get his hand out of it. Well, when he sees the terrible concern on his parents' face, the kid starts to cry. He's so unhappy that he has hurt his parents, and he's got his hand stuck in this vase and they can't get it out. So, you know, the parents do what parents do. They try soap to see if they can get the hand to come out. They try lotion, try to get the hand to come out. The hand just won't come out. It's stuck. Well, they could just break the vase, but they're afraid that they might hurt the child, you know, if they break this vase and perhaps cut him. And besides, they don't really want to break this vase. This is a very expensive family heirloom. It's one of those things, you know, that, well, you know, when grandmother dies and she leaves a few things, and everybody wants this particular item. Well, they got this beautiful vase that was this great family heirloom. They didn't want to see that broken. So they go to the family doctor. The family doctor and the nurse look at it, and they try all the same things. They try the soap. They try the lotion. The hand is just stuck. It will not come out. So finally, the doc says, well, I've got a Dremel saw, and I think I can, you know, kind of cut this vase in half, and we can get him out that way. So just as the doc is setting all this up and getting ready to cut the vase in half, the little boy asks, would it help if I let go of the penny? How many of us do this to God? He's got this wonderful treasure he wants to give us, but we want to hold on tight to these things that are ultimately meaningless. What does all the stuff of our life mean? When we face God, what does it all really mean? God wants to transform our minds, renew our minds into something that is so different, so beautiful, so glorious. But we have to let go of the things that we hold on that separate us from Him. And that's what we're going to be doing over the next 3 nights. We're going to be learning how to let God transform our minds, renew us in new and powerful ways. But we just have to let go. And then miracles happen.